another wonderful privilege to be able to come out here and to pray together as we've just been doing, and to be able to sing together as we have just been doing these beautiful songs of praise to the glory and the honor of God. We appreciate the invitation to come back and to be with you here in this area and all throughout this week as we began this series of studies together yesterday, the first day of the week. And now as we continue on throughout this week through Friday evening, we appreciate you being here, and we encourage you to come and bring others if you can. Invite folks to come and be with us, and should you know of those that we need to go see, please write their names down for us and hand it to us, and we'll do everything we can to see as many folks as we possibly can all throughout this week. And if you know of someone that we need to call or to invite to come to the services, we'd be happy to do that as well. In the book of Matthew, I wanted to take our reading here this evening from chapter 26, Matthew 26, and noticing with you the last few verses of this chapter, where it tells us about the Apostle Peter and the mistake or the sin that he made. The Bible tells us, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. How do you suppose that you would have felt had you been there when you heard the rooster crow? That's what I want us to think about this evening, when the rooster crowed. And for us to give consideration to what took place and what happened in this man's life when he heard this rooster as it crowed like the Lord said that it would. We realize, of course, that oftentimes it is in this life that we, like Peter, make mistakes. And one of the things that I want us to see from the course of this lesson here this evening is that God has a remedy, that God has put in place a plan of which that you and I can come back to the Lord, that we can make things right with God, and that we can be prepared for the judgment day. And I'd like for us to seriously look at ourselves, much like we said yesterday, that we would, as it were, look at ourselves in a mirror. And that likewise this evening, that we will do likewise, that we will look at ourselves, as it were, in this mirror of God. For James tells us that this word of God, this perfect law of liberty, is the mirror of God. That we can look into this mirror and we can see ourselves as God sees us. You know, a lot of times when you're standing before a mirror, you can see basically anything that you want to imagine. First of all, you have to wipe off all the steam and make sure that you can clearly see yourself in the mirror. And then you don't want your imagination to go completely haywire. You want to look there and actually see what you see and make the necessary corrections or changes that you are needing to make and wanting to make. And so it is when we look into the mirror of God, we see ourselves as God sees us. And that's really how we ought to handle the Word of God. That's really how that we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe when this rooster crowed that Peter realized, and anyone else who had heard what Jesus had just said in Matthew chapter 26, realize that the words of Jesus are true. The words that Jesus had spoken had been proven to be true. Now, this is not the only proof in the Bible that the words of Jesus is true or are true. And certainly it's not the only proof that we have that the words of Jesus are true. But this is one of those proofs among many. Because here in Matthew chapter 26 and beginning at verse 31, Jesus had said there unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But he says, after I am risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Now listen to what Jesus said. These are the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, it's in red. Not that it makes any difference what color it's in. "Verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now if anybody doubted what Jesus said, then here just a chapter later you can see that these words are proven to be true. And so it is with all the words of Jesus, no doubt. As we look into the Bible, we can see that Jesus knows all about us, first of all, and that Jesus understood and knew what Peter was going to do, much like he knows everything about us. He knows all about us, and yet we are creatures of choice. Yet we make up our own mind and we decide what we're going to do. Peter was not forced to do what he did, but Jesus knew what he was going to do. And you and I are not forced to do the things that we do, but God knows what we're going to do because he knows all things. In the book of John, the Gospel according to John, in chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, the last three verses of this chapter, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men." Now listen to this, and verse 25. "And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Jesus knows what is in us. He knows. Now you and I can say, "I'm doing the best that I can." Jesus knows what's in us, and he knows if we're doing the best that we can. I'm convinced that God has never asked anything of me but what is reasonable. The Bible tells me that I am to do what is my reasonable service, is the way that it is worded in Paul's writing in the book of Romans, when he talks about us presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And never have I found anything that God has ever asked of me that is unreasonable. He has done the things that are unreasonable, if you want to measure it that way. God has done the things that you and I could not do, and we thank God very much for that in the prayer that we prayed just a few moments ago. God understands us, Jesus Christ knows us, and he knows what is in us, and he knew. He knew what Peter was going to do, but yet it was Peter's choice to do that. The Bible, of course, shows us that the words of Jesus are true. We know that this proved, in this case, what Jesus had said was true. But have you ever stopped to realize that everything Jesus has said is also true? In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, the same hath one that judges him. For the words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. These words that I am speaking, Jesus says, they came from God. They came from my Father, and they came from their Father, the Jews, and they came from our Father, our Heavenly Father, that we prayed through Jesus. And so Jesus is telling us that all these words are true in John 17. And verse 17, again Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so if we want to know what is true, if we want to know what is truth, we look into this wonderful and grand old book called the Bible, and that is where we find the truth. In the midst of all of the division and the midst of all of the religious confusion that exists in this world of ours today, where we have so many people saying so many different things, we're in search for the truth. In John 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so when Jesus said there in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. And Jesus says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We need to be looking into this book that is called the Bible in order that we might be able to find the truth that Jesus has revealed unto us. What Jesus says is true. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now friends, that is true. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, there be some of you standing here this day that shall not taste of death, you'll not die, until you have seen the kingdom come with power. These are the words of the Lord. And the Bible tells us and shows us that what he spoke was the truth. And when that rooster crowed, that proved that what Jesus had just said shortly before that was indeed the truth. And you and I can know the truth today. Thanks be unto God. It was Jesus who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. It was Jesus who said to Peter and the apostles, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me before the cock crows. Before that cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And it was proven to be the truth. They didn't necessarily believe it right then when he said that to them. And especially Peter did not necessarily believe it right then. All others may be offended at thee. All others may deny thee. But I will never deny thee. But Peter was proven wrong. Jesus was proven to be true when the rooster crowed. Again, when that rooster crowed, it shows us that a disciple had denied his master, but a follower of Jesus had denied him. The Bible shows us here that he denied him. He denied him vehemently, the Word of God teaches us, that he was afraid, no doubt, and was concerned for his own life, no doubt, and that certainly was a coward like many of us would be, most of us would be, I'm sure, given the same condition. And so this lesson is not in any way to condemn Peter or even to condemn any one of us, but to cause every one of us to see that we can fit in his sandals, so to speak, that every one of us could be there. Peter had denied his master. The Bible shows us here of how that he denied him. It tells us that he denied him. He denied him with an oath. And then the Word of God tells us that he began to curse and to swear and denied him, there in verse 74. So he denied him. He denied him with an oath. He denied him then by cursing and swearing. He denied his master. The word of God shows us in 2 Peter. There in chapter 2, our beloved brother Peter writes to us. He writes to every one of us. And he can write with authority. And he says about how it's going to be. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now listen to what he says they're going to do. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So a disciple had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says that in these last days, which we're living in the last days, they began when Jesus Christ died upon the cross and nailed to the cross the old way and brought into existence this new and living way, the last days. And you and I are living in these last days. And he's showing us here that there's going to be, just like there were false prophets, so it is that there's going to be false teachers. Well, how can we possibly determine who is false and who is not? That's a challenge, isn't it? It is a challenge because I invite you this week to take your Bible, and I believe the fair way to answer that question, the fair way to determine who is false and who is not, is to check up on people by the Bible. I don't know of a fairer way to do it than to check up on people. You know, the government has people who go around to these gas stations and they have a measuring device and they remove gas from the pumps there and they measure to make sure that they're giving a gallon every time you pay for a gallon. And they inspect those gas stations. They also go around and they have measures and weight folks who check and make sure that their scale is measuring a true pound and so forth. And so in all aspects of this life, we have a way of measuring and checking up to see to it that everything is honest and above board. Why shouldn't we have something like that when it comes to our soul salvation? Where we're going to be in eternity. Where we're going to stand there and how we're going to stand there before the Lord in the day of judgment. Shouldn't there be some way of measuring? And yes, there is. There is a measuring device that God has given unto us, and it is called the B-I-B-L-E. The Bible. You measure what I say based upon what the Bible says. And we're to measure what anyone says. The way the Apostle Peter said it to us in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, yet if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, and if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth unto him. And so when the Word of God shows us here that there's going to be those that are going to be false teachers, and he says they're going to deny, listen to this, denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So they're still denying of Jesus that is going on today. I'm convinced today that when we deny his church, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. We read that a moment ago, Matthew 16:18. And when we deny his church, we're denying Jesus. Because his church is his body. The body is his church. One and the same. Ephesians 1:22-23. Hath put all things under his feet and given him power to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So when we deny the church, we are denying Jesus. Don't you see that? And when we deny what Jesus said there in the book of Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, of how that the gospel is to be preached and how people are to be saved, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said that. Now, if I deny that, I am denying the Lord. And that's what Peter says is going to be happening. There's going to be folks that are going to come, and they're going to be preaching, they're going to be teaching, and they're going to be bringing in damnable heresy, and they're going to deny the Lord. They're going to deny Jesus, and a lot of folks are going to follow their pernicious ways. People follow after those who falsely teach, after those who teach false doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul said to Timothy there much what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. When Jesus points out to us there, and he just words it a little bit differently, but he says basically the same thing that the Lord said to us, that if you'll confess me before men, he said, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now these are the words of Jesus. We've already shown that his words are true, and that they have been proven to be true. They were proven to be true when he died upon the cross and was buried in the tomb and was resurrected from the grave. There's sufficient proof that what Jesus said was true and what Jesus said came from God. But the Lord told us that everything that I speak came from God. And so Paul told Timothy here, the young evangelist, he said, if we deny him, he will deny us. It's that simple. And so I'll tell you, I know some of you love a good trade when you see it. Now listen to what Jesus offers us. I've never been offered anything like this in a trade. You go to all the flea markets and you go all to the trading shows and you'll never hear anything like this. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. What a bargain. What a deal. You think about that. You and I are winners every time when we take advantage of that offer that Jesus has offered us. And it doesn't end at midnight. It does not end this at the end of this month, unless this whole world ends, of course. As long as we're alive, as long as we still have the ability to think, we still have time, we still have an opportunity to take full advantage of this great offer that Jesus has made to us. Peter knew what it was to deny the Lord because he had done it. And when he heard that rooster crow, he knew that he had denied his master. Again, when that rooster crowed, it showed that somebody that is overconfident, someone who believes they can never fall, someone who believes other people might fall, but I will not, can surely fall. Which ought to show every one of us that we too can fall. That you and I can fall. Well, somebody says, I don't believe that a person can fall. And I believe that if a person falls, that means they never were saved to begin with. Well, Peter fell, and he was saved. And certainly, we find other examples in the Bible also of people who fail who were saved. The Bible shows Christian people that we can fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and there at verse 12, Paul points out to us, wherefore let him that thinketh that he standeth, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Who are you writing to, Paul, inspired man of God, inspired by the Holy Ghost? I'm writing to the people there at Corinth. Well, somebody says that doesn't include us. So let's just see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when Paul began this letter that he wrote to the people of Corinth, he said unto them, in verse 1, Paul, identifying himself as the author of this book, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosimes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. We all agree to that so far. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Does that include us folks up at Van Lair, Kentucky? Yes, he says, those people in every place. And Van Lair, Kentucky is one of the every places. Wherever you live, you're included in that. All Christian people are included in this letter that he is writing to them. And he said in verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was writing to Christian people, Paul was, when he said to them, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Is it possible to fall? Well, the Bible certainly shows us that we can fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul again even includes himself in this when he talks about how that we run this race, and he likens the Christian race to much like unto a foot race or a competition here upon this earth. And he said, know ye not, in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. In any kind of a foot race or some kind of competition here upon this earth, only one can be a winner. But now listen to what he compares it to. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul, you mean to say that you have to be careful? Paul, you telling me that you have to watch what you do and you have to keep your body in subjection lest you be a castaway? Yes, Paul says that's true. And so why would you and I think that we would be anything different? Why would we think that we wouldn't have to be concerned about our lives and that we would not have to keep our body in subjection? Lest by any means, when we have preached to others, that we would not be a castaway. And so we should not become overconfident. We should not become, as many brethren have over the years, and liken to what Peter was likened unto there, when he said, all others may forsake thee, but I will never forsake thee. Let's not become overconfident. And Peter would tell us that it's possible for us all to fall. We all have me as an example, Peter would quickly tell us. You have me as an example, Peter would say. That we, even with all the best intentions, it is altogether possible for us to fall. Well, when that rooster crowed, it showed that the course of least resistance had been followed. And so many times, that's what happens in our lifetime. We take the course of least resistance. Sometimes when you take a look at the way the rivers run, you have a map there of how rivers have flown and how the river bottom lies there and the trail is, and you see that oftentimes it has taken the course of least resistance. And that's how Christian people are. That's how human beings are. That a lot of times we take the course of least resistance. And so if we're traveling along with the trash and the garbage of life, much like maybe a flood of water would be, and you see all that trash that's going down through the middle of that body of water that is flowing there, you see, that trash is flowing there, the course of least resistance. Do we want to travel with that? Do you and I want to travel with those of this world that have rejected the Word of God and are going the way of Baal, going the way of ungodliness, going the way of sin, going the way of immorality, Do we want to follow after them and take that course of least resistance? The Word of God shows us that there have been those. Paul talked about one of those that had traveled with him and had worked with him. And he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. But Paul says, he's left me. He's loved this present world more than anything else. And that happens a lot. It can happen to any one of us. You know, the Lord, in the parable of the sower, he talks about how that we have the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And we think sometimes that those three things applies to everybody else. But all of us have cares, and all of us have riches, and all of us have pleasures of this life to one degree or another. And so, any one of us can be carried away by our cares. It might seem like, you might think I don't have any cares, but believe you me, I do. Or I might look at you and I might think, well, you know, he doesn't seem to have a care in this world. I guarantee he does, or she does. We all have cares. We all have a certain amount of riches, whether it be pennies or whether it be dollars. We all have a certain amount of riches. And we all have a certain amount of pleasures in this life, things that we do in order that we might have and derive pleasure from in this life. It's different for everyone. But Jesus says we can allow any one of those to do what? Choke the Word of God out of our lives. Because we will take the course of least resistance sometimes. And when that rooster crowed, that showed that a brother, that Peter had taken the course of least resistance. Furthermore, when that rooster crowed, a coward, a moral coward, remember. The Bible tells us, if you'll back up and read Luke's account of this occasion, that Luke points out to us about how it was that as soon as that rooster crowed, and as soon as Peter saw the Lord looking at him, listen to that. Listen to what it says to us here about how that it was that the rooster crowed and how that Peter saw Jesus looking at him. And of how it was that it caused him to remember. He remembered the words of the Lord. He remembered what had been said. That is what takes place. The Bible tells us of how that they took him in Luke chapter 22 and verse 54 beginning, and they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar. And when they had kindled a fire and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Behold, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, as we've read before in Matthew's account, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of an hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Have you ever done something and your dad look at you? All children are different, of course, but one of my children, all I had to do was look at her. That was enough. All children are different, of course. You have to take a different approach and discipline your children. But, you know, and it always, I can remember when my dad would look at me. I'd see those eyes. Can you imagine how it felt there when the Lord looked at Peter? Can you imagine how he felt? Do you have any idea how he might have churned inside? Some people internally are torn up when occasions like this happen. Jesus looked at him, and when Peter saw him look at him, he remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here was a man who now remembered. He remembered what he had said. He remembered what the Lord had said to him. He remembered. Bible tells us that we have that charge. Paul said to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he said, put the brethren in remembrance. A lot of times that's all that it needs, is just a good Bible sermon that will put us in remembrance. Isn't that wonderful that God's Word will do that to us? God's Word is still the power, His power. Romans 1 verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. So Paul said, I want Timothy, I want you and other gospel preachers to put people in remembrance. We need to remember. Peter remembered. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, Peter said, I'm writing these things, brethren, to you, in the which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. It's not going to be anything new. It's not going to be anything outstanding from the standpoint of human measurement. You know, it's going to be the Word of God. It's going to be the message from God. And I'm just going to remind you. One of the greatest sermons that's ever been preached is found in Acts chapter 2. And so when we preach Acts chapter 2, that's one of the greatest sermons that has ever been preached or that we could ever preach. And we put people in remembrance of what the Bible says. That's our charge. That's what we're supposed to do. And furthermore, when this man heard that rooster crow, he was moved to weep bitterly. The Bible tells us of how that Peter went out and he wept. When he heard that rooster crow, this moved him. He knew what he'd done. He knew that he was guilty. And so here in verse 75 of Matthew chapter 26, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He was so sorry for what he had done. He was so sorry that he went out and he wept bitterly. Was that enough? Well, certainly not. Just weeping is not necessarily repentance. We've seen a lot of politicians in the last several years that have got on television and they have wept bitterly. Didn't mean they've repented. Just because they wept bitterly. Peter wept bitterly. And so when people weep, a lot of times it can go one way or the other. It can be a sorrow of the world, or it can be a sorrow of God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 that the sorrow of God, godly sorrow, leadeth men to repent. You see, and sorrow of the world leadeth to death. And so there's a difference. And so Simon Peter went out and he wept bitterly because he had repented. He was repenting. He was sorry that he had violated God's will. He was sorry that he had denied his Lord. And he was going to straighten up his life, so much so that this erring child came back to God, returned to God. As the Bible teaches us in John chapter 21, just before Jesus was about ready to ascend up into heaven, he called Peter there to him, and John was in the midst as well, and he told Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs, and repeated that. So Peter, you have sufficiently repented. You have changed your life for the better. And now your job is going to be to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep. And thanks be to God, Peter fulfilled that mission. He used the keys to the kingdom of heaven along with the other apostles on the day of Pentecost. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 19, we read verse 18 twice already, verse 19 says, and I'll give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here was a child of God now who God had allowed the opportunity, and we're blessed right here tonight. If you need to repent, God's blessed us with another opportunity to do so. Don't let our last opportunity pass us by. I'm not saying this is the last, but I'm saying it could be. We don't want to take a chance on that. We do not want to pass up an opportunity to repent. The Bible teaches us that some men's sins go on before them to the judgment day. Other men's sins follow them to the judgment day. Now I'm going to ask you, which do you prefer? Which would you rather? Would you rather yours go on before you and before the judgment day? Or would you rather they follow you at the judgment day and you have to reckon and deal with them there? Wouldn't you rather go ahead and repent and straighten up your life now and be ready to leave here so that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ that you can hear Him truly say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many." In Acts chapter 8, we have a prime example of a new Christian, a man who had just heard the Word of God and had just believed the gospel and had just been baptized into Christ. His name was Simon. And he saw the apostles when they came down there and laid their hands upon the new converts and imparted unto them the miraculous measure of the Holy Ghost unto them, the laying on the hands measure from the apostles. And he decided this would be good for him to be able to do that. And he wanted to purchase that ability to be able to lay his hands upon others and impart these miraculous powers unto them. But Peter told him that it was wrong. Peter pointed out to him that he needed to repent of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart would be forgiven thee. And the Bible shows us an example there, an approved Bible example of a Christian man who sinned and repented. And he said, "Pray for me. Pray for me that none of these things come upon me that you've talked about here." God has given unto us a plan, a means in which that we can come back to the Lord. And thanks be to God, Peter could, and he did. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us, Christian people, followers of Christ, like John, from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make it a liar and his word is not in us. In chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, me, that's you. These things write out unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Friends, we don't have to leave here with sin clinging to us. If you're here tonight and you've not yet become a Christian, you can. You've heard the Word of God. Believe with all of your heart. Repent of your past sins and confess right here tonight before this audience, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God," like the eunuch did in Acts 8 and verse 37. And then be baptized. Water and grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, just as the Bible teaches that you to do. If you're here one time, you obeyed that gospel plan of salvation, but you have strayed away from the Lord, and you've not been faithful, and you know that you're not ready to leave here right now, don't put it off another day. Come tonight. Come repenting.
come asking the church to pray with you and for you, that God will forgive you, and that the thought of thine heart will be forgiven thee, as Simon was told, would you come, take a seat in the front, while we stand together and while we sing, God help you to come. Would you come?